Matthew 7, and just one verse tonight, and you've learned, or you have definitely learned, that the length of the message has nothing to do with the length of the text. I take an hour on Jesus. Yeah. I'm not. You say, yeah, if you do, we'll be weeping. All right, let's look at Matthew 7. Let me give you one verse. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I should have gotten me somebody that knows how to howl like a wolf. Wolf. Anybody a good wolf? Brother Cain, are you a good wolf howler? Well, who else is it? Brother Jeff. Brother, no, you. It's not. Brother Cain, you know how like a wolf. All right, well, let's hear a demonstration. Is that a wolf? Is that a wolf or a hound dog? That's a wolf? That sound like a wolf. All right, now you come on up here and move up here. Come move up here. Every time I point to you in the message, I want you to howl like that, all right? Amen. I'm going to get y'all, we can get you in the mood up in here. Sabrina, lull all of y'all. How long? Yeah. Oh, we coming for you now. We got the purple microphone. All right, keep him live, all service. Beware, you got to watch me because I'm going to just give you the finger, all right? So when you, I don't sound good. I'm just going to give you, I'm just going to point to you. Can I get a witness in here? Some folks, the sermon audio don't have a picture, just the sound. I'll say, give them the finger. They go, Lord, have mercy. So I'm going to point to you with my index finger. Hallelujah. When I point, you just be ready to get that. We got him live, right? We got that mic on, okay? Let me read that verse again. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Oh.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Use it to stir and strengthen us. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Last week we began to deal with this area of one way of salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking really broadly and directly, he addressed these Pharisees and scribes who thought by right they would inherit the kingdom of God. They thought all the laws they kept and all the ordinances they knew and all the rituals they practiced would get them into the kingdom. And it reminded them, you can say all you want to say, there's only one way, amen. Last week we looked at two gates, the wide gate, the straight gate, two groups, the majority and the minority, two guarantees, destruction and delight. Hey, the choice is up to you. You can go the broad way. It's easy. Listen to me. It's enjoyable. It's effortless. Or you can go the straight way. It's difficult. It requires diligence. And it requires dedication and devotion and determination and decisiveness. Listen, you can go where everybody's going. Or you can decide, I'm going to go through that straight gate. And by the way, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Hear me well. Don't you believe it? You're going to get to heaven. You're going to go through Jesus Christ. We saw last week that gate's wide where the destruction leads to. And the majority of people are there. It's popular. It's pleasant. You can party there. You can drink there. You can do everything you want there. But the end thereof are the ways of death. That straight gate. It's small, it's straight, it's narrow, it's not easy to fit in. And by the way, we'll find here, that's very clear, he's not talking about works for salvation. He's not saying that you've got to fit in there by doing something. Aren't you glad that the work of salvation was done by one man, the Lord Jesus Christ? For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank the Lord that when he died, he was buried, and he rose again. It was enough to satisfy the wrath of a holy God. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. For there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And aren't you glad that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and whosoever will, let him come. One way to salvation. I said last week, shame on us to think we enter a narrow gate and then walk in a broad way. Shame on us to enter through a holy Savior and then to live a holy life, an unholy life. To enter in through a sinless Savior and then live a sinful life. To enter in through a Savior in whom there was no guile, in whom there was no temptation, in whom there were no faults. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Shame on us to think we can get into the kingdom by going through Jesus and then live inside of the kingdom unlike Jesus. Shame, shame, shame. Yet many try to do so. Tonight, briefly, he says, beware of false prophets. I remind you that the context means everything, because it's no accident that this passage of Scripture comes right out after the previous ones. Because sadly to say, much of heresy that goes on in the religious crowd today has a direct reference to how to go to heaven. It's sad that you can't just go to a church and know how to be saved. You can't just listen to a preacher and know how to be saved. You can't just read religious literature and know how to be saved. Nowadays, it's not just about going to church. It's not just about reading a book. It's not just about hearing a preacher. Nowadays, you got to go to the right church. You got to read the right book. You got to listen to the right preacher. And I won't tell you, there are a lot of people that are contending. You go to heaven through the baptism of waters. You go to heaven through church membership. You go to heaven through the right hand of fellowship. You go to heaven through the gifts of the Spirit. You go to heaven through your family. You go to heaven through good works. You go to heaven through keeping the law. You go to heaven through this or that and the other. And tonight, Jesus said, beware! That's not the only thing they're false about, but they often are false about how to go to heaven. I want to look broadly at that tonight, not just about how they say you go to heaven the wrong way, but tonight I want to take some time to talk about false prophets. Let me give you just 2 points tonight. Number one, their characteristics. Their characteristics. Pastor, you tell me about these false prophets. What do they look like? First of all, let me tell you, they've been around for a long time. Jeremiah 5:30-31, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. You hear that? My people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Jeremiah, speaking on the behalf of Almighty God, said, not only are the prophets telling lies, but the people like it. 14:14 of Jeremiah. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. 23:14 of Jeremiah, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them, even unto me, as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Jeremiah 23:16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not to the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Matthew 24:11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, hear me now, they shall deceive the very elect. said if they could get you unsaved after you were saved, they're that good if God wasn't keeping your salvation. Acts 20, 29 through 31. For I know this, and after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you. Yes, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Romans 16, 17 and 18. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. But there were false prophets among also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. You hear that? Damnable heresies. Not only are they lies, but they are lies, if embraced, will doom and damn you. That's what he's saying. Even denying that the Lord bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. 1 John 4, 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hear me that? Matthew 13, 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. 2 Timothy 3, 8. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. 1 Timothy 6, 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Jeremiah 23 and 7, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Micah 3, 5, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Jeremiah 8, 11, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Hear me now, they've been out there and they're still out there. Everywhere. Here are the characteristics. Let me give you some of them. They proclaim that which is false. Pretended peace. You heard the scripture. They come yelling peace, peace, when there is no peace. They tell you what you want to hear, because they know it'll keep you listening. Come on. And I'm disturbed by how many of God's people are tuned into these quacks. I'm not trying to talk down on anybody, but I will not excuse or cover for someone who misrepresents the truth. They give you pretended peace. Not only do they give you pretended peace, but they give you perverted precepts. In other words, they take the Bible that has been presented with a right interpretation, and instead they give you a wrong perversion. You understand what I'm saying? They take the Word of God that is clear and should be rightly divided. They take the Word of God that should be presented line upon line, precept upon precept. They take the Word of God that is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. They take the Word of God that was breathed from the very lips of God, infallibly, inerrantly. You understand? They take this Word of God and they add their own stuff to it. And hear me now, they have built cults upon it. They have built movements upon it. They have destroyed lives. And we've got people that are flocking into these churches. They're selling their homes. They're refinancing. They're taking out loans. They're indoctrinating their children. Nowadays, they're knocking on the door. They've got pupils and proselytes that are traveling with them. They've taken many times the same Bible we read and misinterpreted. Perverted precepts. Perjured promises.
Oh, don't worry. It's going to be fine.
Sow this seed. You'll never have a financial issue. One guy comes on the radio every week. Send me a donation. I'll send you my oil. For what? I can get that at CVS. God help us. And God's people are falling prey to perjured promises. Speak unto us smooth things. They said, now, then. We don't want good prophets. We don't want real prophets. We don't want right prophets. We don't want sound prophets. We want false prophets because they don't preach. They tickle our ears. I hear Paul sitting in that cell in that dark dungeon in Rome waiting for somebody to call him so he can then place his head in the guillotine and have it chopped off and meet his Savior. He had already said, I'm ready to go. I want to go home. I'm in a strait. To depart is far better, but to abide with you is more needful. He had already said to Timothy, I'm ready to go. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Listen to me. I've kept the course. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. You know, Paul was ready, but on his way out, he'd never see Timothy again. He'd never get to counsel him again. He'd never get to disciple him again. But in his last days, he said, son, let me challenge you something. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come.
Amen. Will not endure the sound preaching. With heap to themselves, teachers having itching ears. Scratch my ear. Scratch my back. Just tickle me a little bit. I didn't come to church to get invaded. I didn't come to church to get humiliated. I came for you to tell me that I can do what I want to do and God doesn't care. This is why a lot of these Christians are content to go to these churches. They've never met the pastor. They've never been up to the front of the altar. They've never been in the main building. They're at a satellite location every week. You know why? Because they want to go to a place where somebody tickles their ears. Where a man opens the Bible, reads one verse, and never comes back to the Bible. Where he tells you what he said and she said and about politics, tell you who to vote for. I vote for Jesus. Amen. Go to a church that tells you to vote for Jesus. Go to a church that tells you he's the only way, the truth, and the life. Go to a church that tells you of his kingdom there'll be no end. Go to the church that tells you for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Go to a church that preaches the Bible. I listen to some of these men on the television sometime and some on the radio, and I want to pull them aside and say to them, so when did you mark it down on your calendar that you preached every last bit of all 66 books of the Bible? Because obviously you're not preaching it anymore. And here's God's people. Oh, I sure love his preaching. First of all, it's not preaching. Second of all, you shouldn't love it. And third of all, if it was that good, you'd change. They proclaim that which is false, pretended peace, perverted precepts, perjured promises. But not only do they proclaim that which is false, watch now, they pose to be something fake. They come in sheep. I might have should have got me a sheep. Huh? Seeing volunteers. I guess I'll have to just do it myself. They come with this, you know, sheep are not really aggressive animals. Sheep are docile and they're peaceful. And they don't like to go against the grain. And this is how these false prophets come. They come to be peaceful. How you doing? Glad you're here. Welcome. Watch this now. They wean you in. Huh? I'm amazed. I'm amazed how hard it is sometimes to get people who know they're in a good church to tithe. When people in a sorry church, they're giving money away. We don't even call it tithing. They're way past 10%. I mean, just dropping it off with a cheerful attitude. Don't even know where it's going. Come on. You know why? He's got him right here. Here he comes as a calm, a little sheep. But the scripture says he's not a sheep. He's a wolf. Just careful. But, hey, watch this now. Be careful when people have to go overboard to convince you how likable they are. And always ask me, don't you like me? Don't you like me? Don't you like me? You could not like me. Who wouldn't like me? I'm rooting for you. I got your name on my prayer altar, along with 365,000 of them. God's going to bless you. You know what people do? They buy into it. But the Bible says they're subtle. They're smart. They're smooth. They are false prophets. Here's what he says. They have healed the hurt of my daughter slightly. Here's what he's saying. He's got you thinking he's healing you, but you go down the road and find out you're worse off than you started. Ezekiel says it's untempered mortar. Anybody ever laid brick? You lay brick, I'm sure the bricklayer will tell you that that mortar is not tempered properly. You're going to have some problems in your building. And there are a whole lot of people that think they're building up sound, substantial, spiritual lives. But truth be told, they're building up their lives on untempered mortar. It's been mixed with the wrong stuff. Counterfeit. It may look like the same stuff, but it doesn't last like the same stuff. Isaiah 30:10, which say to the seer, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. 1 John 4:5, they're of the world, but therefore speak they of the world, and the world speaketh them. They pose to be something fake. See, they prey on the feeble. You know what false prophets do? They attack people that don't know better. Ignorant people. Impressionable people. Insecure people. Hey. We're just out just sharing the good news to you. Have you ever heard the good news? Oh, I love good news. Would you let us come in? We'd love to talk to you about Jesus. Jesus loves you. Where are you from? Church of Latter-day Saints. What they're not telling you is that the same Jesus that they're telling you that loves you, they don't even believe is the Son of God. Are you listening to me?
Are you listening to me? He said they look like wolves, they look like sheep, and they're wolves, and they prey on the feeble.
The characteristics, secondly, and I'm done, the caution, do it. Do it.
Beware. To beware means to watch out, to take caution, to stay away.
You drive up to a house, you're walking up towards it, and the sign on the fence says, beware of dog. You know what he's saying? You better not walk back here without being cautious. Beware.
How do I caution myself?
Number one, be informed. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Pastor, how can I beware of false prophets? Here it is. Search your Bible and study your Bible. Know what you believe. How can you tell me a year from now you won't be in a cult? A year from now you won't be in some heretical church. A year from now you won't be following some lying shyster.
I'll tell you how. Master the book. Master the book. But like the Bereans, were more noble than the Thessalonians, for they searched the scripture to see whether such things were so. Give us somebody who have delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law they meditate day and night. Why? They'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bringing forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. I'd rather be a tree than a lion any day of the week. Why? A lion has to go look for his food. A tree doesn't have to look for his food. He's just planted by the rivers of water, and he's got all he needs to survive. I'm asking you, are you feeding on me? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby.
Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 126. Therefore I esteem thy precepts concerning everything to be right, and I hate every false way. Isaiah 40 says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall abide forever. John 17:17. Sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is the truth. Is anybody listening tonight? There's nothing like the Bible. And when the winds of time have blown every trend, every fad, every religious theory off the side of the seashore, when the men that have stood up and said that they were right and have led followings have died and their followings died after them, when all of the cults, all of the new age thinking, all of the recent discoveries in religion that are outside of the Bible, when they've all subsided and all of their momentum has died, go back to the good old fashioned word of God, and I'll tell you, it will stand.
Amen. You know your Bible? Now, okay, if you don't know it, don't look down on yourself. You're not less than a person. Don't look down on yourself. Unless you don't know it and you're not studying. Look down on yourself. It's one thing not to know the Bible. It's another thing not to know the Bible and not to come to church and learn the Bible. It's not one thing not to know the Bible. It's another thing not to know the Bible and not to get with somebody who does know the Bible. It's one thing not to know the Bible, but to pass on opportunities to read the Bible. It's one thing not to know the Bible, but to just to stay away from people that are trying to teach you the Bible. It's one thing not to know the Bible. It's another thing to have a chance to learn the Bible and to pass on it. It's one thing not to know the Bible. It's another thing to have time to read it, but say you don't have time while you're Facebooking and video games and everything else. It's one thing not to know the Bible, but it's a whole other thing to let the Bible sit dusty on your bookcase while you're doing computer is basically fried because you're on it. I wonder if your power goes out. Will you have enough Bible to read the next 2 days? Or will you be prayed for false prophets? be informed. Identify them. Lord, identify them to watch you. If you're watching and walking, mark them because of me. You say, Pastor, every once in a while I hear you mention a name in the pulpit. Why? I want you to know who not to listen to.
Amen.
There's really no hidden agenda for you. I didn't call the name because I didn't have anything else to say. I called the name because I want you to know that he doesn't have much good to say.
Amen.
Or nowadays, she either. And these women are gawking at Joyce Meyer. Stop gawking. And lead your body. That's something out of woman's teeth, but you usurp authority of a man to be in subjection. Not talking about a subordination or less of a person as a gender. It's talking about the role and the function of a pastor and a bishop within the framework of the local church.
Amen.
And I challenge you to find one instance where that principle was ever defied in Scripture. Where Deborah was not a preacher. Where Ruth was not a preacher. Where Esther was not a preacher. When the disciples first heard the gospel from Mary, they weren't preaching. They were just telling them boys what Jesus had done told them. Don't try to dress it up and make that preaching. Started the priesthood. Finally, one woman. He was Jewish priest. Finally, one woman pastor. Anna was a prophetess. She wasn't good. Know your Bible. She's good. She's out of line. He may be good and out of line too. But if he's a he, that's one area he's not out of line. Let him talk long enough. You'll mess up. He'll find some other. if he's a wolf, identify and then ignore him. I'm about done. Don't hear. Here's what I'm saying. Don't listen to him if that's good. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes thee to err. I believe that's the scripture there, Proverbs 19. So you check me, did you? Cease, my son, 19, maybe 27, around there. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes thee to err. Is that right? 19:27. That's what I said, right? Read it together if you have it. Okay. Now, you tell me if I'm reading it, the passage of Scripture. You tell me. Sounds to me like God is saying to the writer of Proverbs, stop listening to stuff that tells you to go against the Bible. I'm not trying to make anybody mad or ruffle any feathers. But for me personally, this is where I draw my conviction as to where I will send my children to school. Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes thee to fail. Let one verse go rolling about it. I don't want a place. They're in a position where they're taught to go against the Bible. What do you allow to play in your house? What shows babysit your children? Are they teaching them to do what you taught them not to do? Well, if it's PG, it's fine. Who said so? Hollywood wouldn't know what was appropriate if they had a Bible in their hand. What are they watching? What are they in the room looking at? What are they downloading? Unbeknownst to you, is it causing them to err from the knowledge of the truth? Here's what he's saying. Cease, my son. You go ahead. The pastor, If that verse may speak differently to me than it does to you, that's fine. But you better go home and figure it out. You better figure out how you're going to take Proverbs 19:27 and implement it into Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Because some people leave church after I preach and come back to church later and listen to junk in between. You're going to have to figure out let every man be fully persuaded in his own life. But I'll tell you what, it may not have you where I am, but I'll have you different from somewhere you are. See, it's not so. That means, listen, young people, you listen to me. That means if your music is telling you to go against God, cease listening to it. Amen. Hear me, adults. Well, I'm just listening for beats. I'm just listening for rhythm. I'm just listening for the mood. No. Cease, my son. Rap music is full of sex, drugs, and rebellion. I've done the study on it. Sex, drugs, and rebellion. It is teaching our children to sleep around. It's teaching them to get on drugs. And if nothing else, it's teaching them to rebel. That's why they have their pants down. They have their pants down because they think that's sensible. They have their pants down because they know it's not sensible. And that music makes you act like an idiot. Absolutely. Cease, my son. And if your son is smart enough to cease, then cease giving him the proper electronics that will help him not cease. Amen. Take his phone, her phone. Shut the computer down. Delete the page. But for heaven, iTunes, our kids are not godly enough for iTunes. Amen. Most of their parents aren't. Cease, my son. Cease, my son. Cease. I don't know if it's right. Is this music right? Is this music wrong? I'm not sure. It sounds good. It's got good words. Then turn it off and just read your Bible. You know it's right.
Amen.
And ask God to help you figure it out. Cease, my son. There is no gray area in Proverbs 19:27. He said, cease. Stop. Don't hear it and don't heed it. And I hate to get so deep with you on a Sunday night outside of a college classroom. I hate to get so deep. Forgive me. But just let me give you one deep thought. Now get out of here. You wouldn't have so much trouble not heeding it if you would stop hearing it.
For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I'll not do a whole study on this, but if you read Proverbs chapter 4 in verse number 9, Paul said these are the things that you need to do. But before he said what you need to do, he said in verse number 8, think on things that are lovely, just, pure, of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, you deduce scripture how you want to deduce scripture. But there's a very clear presentation there that there's a strong correlation between what we think and what we do.
If you want to tell me that you don't think about what you're listening to, number one, you're lying. Or number two, what are you listening to it for? Beware. False prophet. The wolves are out there. One more. Don't really hear them except for at nighttime. The freaks and the wolves come out at night. And if you're wise, you'll stay away from both of them.
Amen.
Half the time, they're one and the same. And nowadays, we got people that come into church that will use doctrinal heresy to win somebody of the opposite sex. I ain't going to chase that rabbit, but I'm liable to catch that one. You say, how do you know that's why they came? Because when they found out they couldn't, they jumped off the Bible ship and went back to the world. Cease, my son. Cease, my son. Cease. That's right. As if we start through the land. By the way, and I'll close for the sixth time. We're talking about prophets, New Testament, and this is We're talking about teacher and preacher and leaders. The pure sense of prophecy, by way of foretelling and speaking the future, no longer has a relevancy or an essentiality. And this is why. I don't need anybody to speak biblical future to me. I have a Bible. And when that which is perfect has come, then that which is done in part shall be done away. So I don't want you to go out of here looking for a bona fide prophet. If you find one, it's not for real. But there are many perpetrators who, through the avenue of religion, are misguiding God's people. And because of that, many of them are failing to live properly for the kingdom, if there even is. Our Father, thank you.